Hi, everybody. Welcome back to season 10 of The City Confessions. I honestly cannot believe that this is season 10, and it is such a proud moment and reflection just because I feel like I've been doing this for years and had no idea what this would become. And by no means is this a crazy top hit podcast, but it is something that I still find so much joy in doing. And I think that speaks volume to why I created this in the first place. And number 10 is a very special number in my life for the past year. My favorite number is actually 7, but since I've met my partner and created this new chapter, 10 has a special meaning just because coincidentally or not coincidentally, the number 10 of every month since I've met him, something special has happened. And my son's birthday is on the 10th of February. So as you're listening to this, we just celebrated his first birthday, which is honestly insane. I'm not going to talk about his birthday just because as I'm recording this, this is about a week beforehand. But I will say that I'm sure that I've gotten emotional just because it's a huge thing for him to be turning 1. And I feel like if you are a mom, you would understand why it's such a huge moment. Because as much as I have been alive before meeting him, I also feel like I had my own rebirth when he was born. So piggying back from season 9, the last episode, I did a life update, and I spoke mostly about the realities of relationships and the struggles and what is usually not highlighted on social media. So I'm not going to dive deeper into that, but if you're curious, everything is good. Things have gotten better, and I feel like that's just the waves of life. I've also learned in therapy that timings of certain situation and events that occur in your life subconsciously affect you whether you realize it or not. It's not always as apparent as a birthday or an anniversary or dates that you remember. There are certain things that happen, and around the same time that quote-unquote anniversary comes up, sometimes it hits you unexpectedly. And I know this firsthand due to my past surgeries. I've definitely healed from it, and it's something that I've openly talked about. And sometimes I forget, right? Like when I actually had it. And there were times, maybe like 2-3 years ago, when I felt an incredible amount of anxiety that came out of the blue. I was actually traveling in Mexico, honestly, on the most beautiful beach, witnessing the most stunning sunsets. And I just did not feel well mentally. I spoke about this experience with my therapist when I returned, and she said, well, think about it. This happened in September. This September, you know, does that bring up any memories? And that's when I had my open heart surgery. So it just goes to show that sometimes things live in you when you don't know that. And I bring this up because I had a very traumatic birth experience, and because Hunter is turning 1, well, he already turned 1 if you're listening, but I'm almost anticipating that experience, not to relive it, but definitely to be brought to light, to be brought to the surface. And it's something that I think I have healed from it, but it's not something that I'm so comfortable with talking about because it was traumatic, and it is the most strangest feeling to say that it was the most beautiful day because I brought him into the world. Yet, because those 5 seconds, minutes were so scary that it almost feels like it's hard to celebrate that moment, if that makes sense. But I've always been the type to look at the positives, and I will say that even though Hunter was in the NICU for 10 days, he is honestly such a fighter. I look back and did I cry every single day? Absolutely. And was it heartbreaking not be able to hold him and bring him home? Yes, of course, especially as a first-time mom. But I will say, he doesn't know this, and he will know about this and hear about this a million times when he grows up. But he is such a resilient little boy, and seeing his progress throughout this year and seeing him become the toddler that he is makes me so proud. So proud. And it's honestly a love that I've never, ever experienced. And I never thought that I would have a boy. Growing up with two sisters, I always dreamt of having a baby girl. And I was scared, to be quite honest, to have a boy. Just because I didn't know what that would be like. I didn't know whether I could handle it, because that's not something that I am familiar with. Like, just growing up, I wasn't surrounded by boys. I read somewhere that the first child that you have, whatever it is, a boy or girl, it's because there's a certain reason that serves you in a way that's not blatantly known. And for me, I realized that having Hunter, having a boy, is teaching me the love that I didn't have. And this is going deep and maybe opening a can of worms, but he has shown me a love that I did not have and that I deserve. And it's so beautiful because he is healing me in so many ways. And now I can't get enough of him, and I'm so happy to be a boy mom. With that being said, I don't want to make this episode all about motherhood, just because I know my audience, the majority are not mothers, and that's totally fine. I do want to make this episode helpful, and I want to talk about what I've learned within this year of being a mom, but the lessons that I will dive into are more life lessons. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first thing I want to talk about is friendship changes when you are going through a milestone. So that's if you're engaged, if you're married, if you have a child, if you're moving, whatever changes happen in your life, most likely friendships will change as well. They can thrive and they can evolve and they can be bigger than what you expected, or friendships will end. And it's unfortunate, but that's the sad truth. When I was pregnant, I had some friendship breakups, and they were actually very hard. And some people were offended that I didn't tell them personally that I was pregnant, that they found that on social media. But again, there's a reason for that, right? I can understand why they feel that way, but they were making my pregnancy about them. And I actually had a high-risk pregnancy. So if you are pregnant, you know that the first trimester is very, you're just paranoid. I mean, a miscarriage can happen. So with those stats, in addition to me being high-risk, I honestly didn't want to tell anybody until I was sure. And for full disclosure, I didn't even tell my parents until I was about, I don't even know, like past the 3-month mark, to be honest. So can you imagine keeping that for a secret for that long? I think for my future pregnancies, I would definitely tell them earlier, but that's just the way I handled it because that's what felt true to me. And picking back off of that, even if you have friends who are in your lives, you will see who's going to check in on you. And this is, again, not just for pregnancy. You could be going through grief, you could be going through a hard time, and you can see who are the friends who actually pick up the phone, who actually reach out. And I'm okay with that because I know that they are going through their own, you know, life situation, and I'm going through mine. And now that I have a child, I'm more cautious about the time and energy that I spend.
And, you know, if you're my friend and you've never met my son, that says a lot too. I know that certain people, you know, again, life gets in the way, but he's such a big part of my life now that I feel like whoever has met him are people that are truly my ride or dies. They know me and I trust them enough to bring to my son. So that's saying a lot. So I just want to reiterate that friendships always have a season, and you can be sad about it, but you don't have to regret it, because at the end of the day, you can look back and say, okay, that person was in my life, you know, that was a great friendship for these reasons, and then our life paths kind of just went our own way, and that's that. Second lesson kind of ties back to what I was talking about on the last episode of season 9 about relationship changes with your partner. When you have a big change, such as bringing a child into the world, but it is so true, and I feel like I honestly did not expect this, and my partner and I kind of went into it kind of with a blind eye and kind of just like going with the flow, which has its pros and cons. It's good because we weren't trying to psych ourselves out. We didn't have these crazy expectations and visions of what it would be like when this baby came. But at the same time, because we didn't prepare and we didn't have these conversations, that's why it was harder to navigate the situations when they did come to play. I've learned that this is a real partnership, and because we have a son, there's so much more at stakes. And now I'm seeing what marriage is like. No, I'm not married, but we live together, we have a baby, and it's really showing me that marriage and relationships, they all take so much work, and you have to understand mostly is due to the fact that we grew up in separate situations, circumstances, and households. So the way we carry ourselves in life is because of our experiences and our perspectives and values. And when you have two people who have lived in a way independently come together and kind of join forces, of course there's going to be a trial and error period where you're trying to see how both of you can coexist and grow and love and create this beautiful synergy and partnership. So I will say that if you are expecting or you just got into a new relationship, you have to embrace every period. And just because you're going through a rough patch does not mean it's the end. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Just because you're going through a rough patch does not mean it's the end. Rough patches are going to happen. You might as well embrace it. You might as well look at it and say, you know what? We're ready for this. We are ready to fight. We are ready to disagree. We are ready to overcome it, because it is in those moments when you see how they operate, they see how you operate. And quite frankly, the more emotions that are involved, the more you care about the person. That's what I've learned in my own experience. I would get so worked up in certain situations, and I had to think back and say, wow, I freaking love you. Because if I didn't, you would not be able to bring out all these emotions in me. So take that and try to use it as a way to overcome and to find a solution instead of focusing on the problem at hand. Segue to lesson 3. I've learned, especially in this year, to not take things personally. Growing up, I was a people pleaser. Growing up, I was also kind of insecure about how people, you know, felt about me. I was always worrying about other people's opinions. I wanted to be liked. And since becoming a mom, I do not take things personally. And this goes both ways with other people and with myself. What do I mean? So people cancel plans on me, or I see, you know, friends get together and I wasn't invited. I don't care. I used to take it so personally and think like, oh, they didn't want me there. You know, I wasn't good enough or blah, blah, blah. Now, when things happen, I see it. You know, I see the facts. I see the currents, but I do not associate any meaning for what's happening with me. And that is something I've learned just due to the fact that my priorities have changed. Also, I don't take things personally when going back to like the friendship dynamics. If people don't check in, I don't think, oh, they don't care about me. I'm not, you know, insecure about where our friendship lies. I think when you grow older, you're just focused on yourself. And the truth of the matter is nobody out there is thinking about you in that way as much as you are. So deeper than that, when you do take things personally, it's a reflection of your insecurities. On the flip side, I'm saying I don't take things personally. That can be equivalent to the fact that I've grown more confident in who I am, in my circle, and just how I carry myself in the world. And I think that is such an attractive trait to have, to adopt, and to kind of want, to aspire.
I actually love that. And I feel like when you don't take things personally, life just becomes less stressful.
And the fourth lesson kind of relates to not taking things personally is to be more flexible with time and plans. So back then, especially if you know me, I was very structured. I worked off of my Google Calendar and planner, which I do still, but just more loosely. And I would want to pencil in things beforehand just because I liked to know what I was doing. So let's say it's Sunday, I wanted to know what I was doing for the week, if I had certain events, certain meetings, and I was traveling, I wanted to kind of make things back to back. And I don't think that's unreasonable to ask or to do. At the end of the day, you don't want to have so much time to kill, especially if you are traveling. So I learned to just kind of let that go and be flexible. I've had coffee meetings with clients and I had to cancel because my son was sick or something would come up or I wasn't able to attend or for whatever reason. And I learned that I need to be flexible with it. And when I'm flexible with it and explain myself, I've also learned that other people are more receiving of that without feeling some type of way, especially in a professional manner. And I think it also helps that I used to be like that, or I'm still a little bit like that, whereas my partner is more easygoing, he's more spontaneous, and that brings that side out of me. I would come to him and say, hey, like, what are we doing this weekend? What are we doing next weekend? And I would have all these plans, and sometimes he was like, okay, like, we need to chill out, let's just like wing it. And there are definitely moments when we did wing it, and those are the moments that were the most memorable. So I think it's important to have both, but the key word is being flexible. So if plans change, that's okay. Just be flexible, because sometimes you never know what comes out of it. And you kind of just go with the flow. And my last lesson is to release control, which literally relates to what I just said about being flexible. If you are a mom, let me tell you, you will have no control. No control over your body, no control over your sleep, no control over your schedule. Like, literally everything is out of your control. And being the type A person that I was, that was a very hard thing to do. And with that being said, it added more to my stress, because I would consciously know that I could not control it, and it would increase my desire for control, for lack of a better word. And I had to just literally release it, like release it into the universe. This is a big lesson in my dating, and I spoke about this in Unhinged. You have to just release everything, because honestly, what's meant to be will be. What's meant for you will not pass you. That is a fact. So no matter what you do, no matter how much resistance or control or attachment you have to a person, an idea, a situation, it's not going to do any good. You are literally exerting so much energy for no reason. Once you let go and once you surrender and once you release, not only can you breathe, it's literally like holding your breath. You will find that things run smoother and you navigate the world in a more nonchalant way. And I feel like nothing can affect you if you don't want it to. So all of these lessons have made me more comfortable in who I am, right? Because I am living my life focusing on what matters, not caring so much about what's going on around me, because honestly, it's none of my business. It's none of my business, right? What matters is what is directly having an influence on my life, and that will play a major role in what's going to happen in 5 years. I should also note that I turned 32 this year, about a month prior to releasing this podcast. So I think with age, there's also this new sense of confidence. And I'm so proud of where I'm at, because there is nothing more sexier than confidence. And confidence is not just confidence in your body or your looks. I'm talking about confidence in the nature of my character, in how I am gliding through life. And maybe it's because I've been through the trenches with motherhood. I've hit rock bottom. But it is so beautiful, let me tell you, to go through it. And it's so beautiful to look back and say, yes, I did that. So whatever you're going through, just know that you will get through it, and that the outcome is always worth the journey. I also feel like March is right around the corner, which means spring is coming up, and spring is always a beautiful transition. You know, December and January, it's a little depressing. It's like winter blues, but like, we know we felt that, but we're ready to rise from it, okay? We're ready to turn the page. We are ready to upgrade and to level up and to just be. That is what I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to amazing conversations with guests this year. I'm just super excited and so happy that I am ahead of the game with recording. I'm getting everything in place, because last year that didn't happen. Again, not faulting myself for that. But I want to bring back the City Confessions, you know, good juju. So I'm excited for that. I'm going to close it out with a confession. I'm like psyching myself out, because even though I'm recording this, I don't actually plan any of my episodes. I kind of just wing it and speak from the heart and go on a rant. My confession this year is, it's mostly a goal, but I guess it's a confession in itself, is that I definitely want to travel to Asia or Europe. I'm leaning towards Asia with Hunter, with my family, and my confession is that I'm actually scared shitless, because even though we went to St. Kitts in September, it was a smaller flight. And even though, again, I spoke about being confident, I'm actually scared of how he would do in like a 14, 16 hour flight plus the time change. But I really want to utilize that goal and that desire as a challenge. I've read that in Europe, their children adjust to their parents' life, whereas in America, we're adjusting our life for our children, meaning like we revolve our life around their nap times and everything, and therefore we're not really living because we're so stressed out. So because he's one now, I want to say, you know, F that. We're going to do us. You know, mama loved traveling. Mama's not going to stop traveling. And she is going to show you what life was before she even had you, right? And I want to expose him to different cultures. And of course, he's young, but I think it's really important for him to be adaptive. He's such a curious baby. So you know what? I'm going to just put it out there. I'm going to make it happen. I have the whole year, you know, I can leave it till December. But either way, that is my confession that I really want to do it, but I'm also scared. And I hope that my fear does not stop me from actually doing it, because that is one thing that I would talk, I don't want to say down upon, but that was always one thing that I never experienced or let it rule my life prior. So we shall see. That is the first episode of season 10. I am so excited and so appreciative for everybody who is listening. I don't know if I have any new listeners, but I think most of you have been with me for a while. So I appreciate you all. Let's get ready for a beautiful year, a beautiful season. And I'm sending you all the love in the world, because your girl is feeling good and is doing good, okay? And it is such a beautiful feeling and place to be at, especially since you were going through such a rough time before. So if you're going through a rough time, don't worry. I got you, and your future self got you, and you will get through this, okay? Let's all ride this out together. And I will see you all next week with my first interview. All right, bye.